try it again. Hey, good evening, everybody. Mike Malloy here. Thanks for tuning in. Oh, the microphone's way too hot. Maybe you can dial it back just a little bit there because it's vibrating my headphones. There we go. Thank you very much. Welcome to tonight's program. We have lots of fun and frivolity for you tonight, including an audio that was sent to me by Gordon in Oklahoma City. I want you to hear. It's a preacher at a Baptist church in Tempe, Arizona. And if you want to know where murder and hate really comes from, consider this guy's Baptist church. It's just a font of disgust and contempt and hate. And we're going to pay, I've got 3 or 4 minutes of it for you. I'll probably only be able to play about 2 before I, you know, have to stop. Also tonight, our first report from our educational affairs correspondent, Kay Petrini. And we're going to call it Kay's Report Card. That is what, you know, we have a moment with Bob, Bridget Speaks, and Kay's Report Card. What is Prairie 2? Prairie 2 is just Prairie 2, right? Yeah. Well, let me just begin. You know, we're watching this insanity. We still are. We're still watching it. This insanity of these so-called town hall meetings. I love the way Barney Frank ripped the Nazi woman a new body orifice at his town hall meeting. But if you watch that video where Barney Frank says, you know, there's no point in my talking to you. I get more reaction from a dining room chair or whatever it was he said. You know, here's this crazy bitch standing there holding up a picture of Obama made to look like Adolf Hitler talking to a Jewish member of Congress. I mean, and saying, do you support the Nazism? And the thing that was crazy about it to me, the really crazy part, was the dead eyes on that woman. You take a look. You can find it. Barney Frank and the Nazi woman. You can find, or Barney Frank, I forget how it's titled on YouTube. But you take a look at it. One thing I want you to notice is, you know, yeah, Barney Frank, wittily, put the woman back in her coffin. But what was weird was her eyes. Completely dead. And I, when I see somebody like that with dead eyes, I know that inside their head there is either a vacuum or a seething mass of snakes. It has to be one of the two. Well, if you think all these town hall shout fests and the guns and the crazy people have been bad, there's another one on the horizon. And it's being billed as another citizen movement, citizen movement. This one is going to be an attempt to oppose the Obama administration's attempt to tackle climate change, global warming. Huh? Are you ready? Already there have been a couple of rallies, but guess who is behind it all? Guess who's financing it? Guess who is putting it all together? Big Oil! Big Oil! The American Petroleum Institute. For example, in Houston, yesterday, hundreds of people went to a downtown theater for a lunchtime rally. Hundreds of people showed up. Oh, my God. How did they hear about this? A lunchtime rally to stop the socialist Obama administration from passing legislation regarding cap and trade, which we'll get to in a second. But to try to bring emission controls under some kind of control and to cease or reverse or make one last effort. Not that we've made any so far, but it's down to that point. One last effort to control global climate change. And where did they hear about this? Where did these workers hear about this important meeting at a downtown theater? Well, the MC at the rally in the theater was a guy from Houston named Bill Bailey. He is a rodeo announcer and, according to the New York Times, a local celebrity. And he said, quote, something we hold dear is in danger, and that's our future, end quote. Irony just blows right by these people. You know, this crazy rodeo jackass is standing up there and he says to the people in the theater, something we hold dear is in danger, and that's our future. I mean, that's perfect. Perfect, Bill, for what the petroleum industry is doing to the planet. Oh, you dumbass. But you mean the Obama administration's attempt to get just a tiny hold on these emissions that are continuing global warming. Ah, these people. Anyway, the event yesterday was organized by a group called Energy Citizens. Now, doesn't that sound energy citizens? Oh, my. I want to be an energy citizen. I like energy, and I am a citizen. But Energy Citizens is a fake group. It's a letterhead put together by the American Petroleum Institute, which is the oil industry's main lobby group. And the people attending this, whatever you want to call it, this demonstration or this event, were employees of oil companies who work in Houston and were bussed in from their workplaces. Hey, everybody, you get some time off. Come on, we're going to go to a party. Now, it's all staged for television, you see. You and I are supposed to sit at home and look at this footage, and it will show up and go, well, goddamn, what is Energy Citizens? That sounds really cool. Energy Citizens. I want to be an Energy Citizen. This was the one in Houston yesterday. It was the first of a series of about 20 of these phony rallies that are planned for southern states. Why? Okay, because we have gas and oil down here, or because this is the Bohunk section of the United States. This is where they can bring the buses up, pull the bus. This is like like they used to do in the Soviet Union, right? They would pull the buses up and bring all the people in to cheer and shout and scream for Leonid Brezhnev or somebody, right? This is exactly what the petroleum companies are doing. Come on, get on the goddamn buses. Let's go. We're going to go party. Anyway, all these rallies are planned here in the southern states to organize resistance to proposed legislation that would set a limit on the emission of these heat-trapping gases. And it's going to be described as an energy tax. That's it. You know, it's going to be called an energy, just like death panels, and they're going to ice grandma, and they're going to take Down syndrome babies and drop them into a deep well. Well, here's the newest. The Obama administration wants to put an energy tax on you. Oh, yes. Goddamn, it's going to be $4 a gallon gas again because of Obama. Not because companies like ExxonMobil have made more profit in the past 3 years than any company in the history of capitalism anywhere on the globe or in the known solar system. No. It's Obama who's going to raise the price of gasoline. How high? Well, hell, I heard it's going to go up to $4.50 a gallon. Well, it already was there, but that's kind of beside the point, isn't it? Now, polls show that a vast majority of Americans support efforts to take on global climate change. I mean, what's the alternative? Let's all suffocate, right? Let's just all start, the babies and the old people go first, and that way these crazy-ass Republicans will have their death panels. But they'll be run by the Petroleum Institute. Because the babies and the old people whose lung capacity has been reduced by about 40-45%, maybe 50 or 60%, and that's if they've never smoked reefer, never did cigarettes, pipes, or anything. That's just from living in this country. And the babies, well, you can always make more babies, huh? Anyway, a majority of Americans support the efforts to try to bring climate change into some kind of control. But opposition to this bill from energy industries has become, as the Times says, more vigorous in recent weeks. Well, it's not just vigorous. Once again, these lying son of a bitches, and I'm going to tell you, and when we come back after this break, where the lies are coming from. There's a company called Bonner and Associates. And it's in Washington D.C. And what they do is they send out forged letters. We'll do that part when we come back. Stay with us. I'm Mike Malloy. The color of my skin reminds me things ain't changed. You okay? Then it hit me. Ain't nobody coming to get me. Feels my pain. Once again, the color of my skin reminds me things ain't changed. You didn't have to. You didn't have to. You didn't have to. You didn't have to. It is 21 past the hour. And this portion of the Mike Malloy Show is brought to you by Patriot Majority. Patriot Majority believes it's our patriotic duty as Americans to pass health care reform now with a strong public option plan. Now, back to the American Petroleum Institute and what they are doing. Just like the insurance industry, the health insurance industry is behind a lot of the this nonsense that's going on, the screaming and the yelling. Their fingerprints are pretty well covered up. They use their whores in media, no offense to sex workers, but they use the suicider, Glenn Beck, and the drug addict, Rush Limbaugh, and the guy who goes to the bunny ranch in Nevada, Sean Hannity, to do their dirty work for them. The Petroleum Institute, on the other hand, it's just, you know, they put together these real AstroTurf organizations, these fake grassroots organizations, and the newest is called Energy Citizens. Now, in addition to this, a public relations firm hired by a pro-coal industry group. The group is called the American Coalition for Clean Coal Electricity. Oh, that sounds wonderful. Clean coal electricity. Oh, God, I want some of that. Give me a gallon of it, please. Anyway, they recently sent at least 58 letters to members of Congress that oppose new climate laws. Okay? And an investigation by the House Select Committee on Energy Independence and Global Warming found that a total of 13 sent by the firm Bonner & Associates were forgeries. The committee is investigating another 45 letters to determine whether they're fakes. Now, the forgeries, the letters purported to be from groups like the NAACP and Hispanic organizations. You see, these sons of bitches don't care. This is corporatocracy. They don't care whose name they appropriate. Let's send some letters to Congress and put it on letterhead as though it's from the NAACP. Okay? Okay, let's do that. All right, let's do. Bonner & Associates. Bonner & Associates has acknowledged the forgeries. B-O-N-N-E-R. Bonner & Associates. They've acknowledged the forgeries. And, well, surprise, surprise, it was the fault of a temporary employee who was subsequently fired. We're such a half-ass company, Bonner & Associates. We let a temporary employee design and distribute a letter on fake letterhead, all kinds of letters on fake letterheads. Yeah, he was just a temporary employee. I don't know where we got him. Probably picked him up off the street. You know, he didn't even speak English. You know, he said, yo deseo a trabajo or something like that. And we took pity on him and gave him a job. That's all that was. So not to worry, not to worry. The Coal Coalition, the National Association, or I'm sorry, that's the NAACP, the American Coalition for Clean Coal Electricity. It has apologized for the fake letters and said it is cooperating with the investigation of the matter by a congressional committee. We're going to cooperate. It's going to turn out to be another temporary employee, but we're going to cooperate. Now, the oil industry plans to raise the pressure in coming weeks with these so-called public rallies. Why? So it can negotiate more favorable terms in the Senate than it got in the House. The House bill is already passed. And the Senate bill, this is what the American Petroleum Institute and these oil companies, ExxonMobil, Chevron, ConocoPhillips, and yada, 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 this is what they're focusing on the Senate. So what's their strategy? Well, the strategy was outlined by the American Petroleum Institute in a memorandum it sent to its members. The memorandum was not meant for the public, but Greenpeace got a hold of it. And the research director at Greenpeace, Kurt Davies, said, quote, it's a clear political hit campaign, end quote. In the memorandum, the president and CEO of the American Petroleum Institute, one Jack Girard, said that the aim of the rallies was to send a, quote, loud message to the Senate, end quote. He said the rally should focus on higher energy costs and jobs. It's an energy tax. They're going to take our jobs. Barack Obama's taken all of our jobs. He took our jobs at the bank. He took our jobs at the factory. He took our jobs at the car plant. He took our jobs in the car dealerships. And now he's going to take our energy jobs. Oh, God damn. Oh, I hate this socialist. And he was born in Kenya. Ah! This is the plan. Now, the House bill that's already passed seeks to reduce greenhouse gases in the U.S. by 83% by 2050. That's pretty much everybody listening to this program won't be around in 2050. And certainly the people that run the American Petroleum Institute won't be around in 2050. Nor will the people running Clean Coal Electricity Thing Organization. They won't either. And the people who are going to be roused up and sent to these rallies won't be either. But this is long term. You see, a corporation never dies. Daniel Weiss, a senior fellow at the Center for American Progress, which is a good organization, said the oil industry's goal is to block or weaken efforts to tackle global warming. Now, there's more on this, but I'm just trying to give you a little advance warning here. When you start to see over the next few weeks these rallies, Americans concerned about high energy costs, all that goddamn Barack Obama's going to do us again. Try to remember, it's all fake. Why must we stay?
Gonna be a delicacy. So lick your chops.
Use the primal scream, use the press. Embrace your inner liberal warrior with Mike Malloy.
Before the hour. So, an update to the American Petroleum Institute's lies and chicanery, and the the American Coalition for Clean Coal Electricity, their lies and deceit and fraud. As these energy industries now are going to try to squeeze as much profit out of everything, I don't understand why, because once we reach the tipping point, if we're not already there, where life becomes unsustainable on this planet, what are these sons of bitches going to do? What are they going to do? I mean, what are they going to do with all their billions upon billions upon billions of dollars, huh? I guess the problem here, of course, people who run the corporations know that they'll be dead by 2050. They don't give a damn. And they want to get all the money they can get now so the planet can go screw itself. All the different species that will die, that are dying, big deal. Doesn't it say in the Bible we have dominion over everything that creeps and crawls? Well, here's some goddamn dominion for you. How's that? Die, sucker! These people are crazy. Oh, my God, they're crazy. In addition to those lies, congressional investigators have uncovered five more letters sent to members of Congress that claim to be from charities expressing opposition to climate change legislation. The new letters now brings to nine the number of non-profit organizations. These are not like NAACP, like charities whose identities were appropriated by Bonner and Associates, the Washington lobbying firm that says it specializes in developing grassroots support for lobbying campaigns. Sure it does. It makes stuff up. It lies. It tells the oil companies, well, get some buses over there to your refinery and take all those people downtown Houston, and we'll call it Citizens for Energy or Energy Citizens or something. Huh? How's that? And when they can't do that, these putrid bastards lie. Bonner and Associates, huh? Jack Bonner, the lobbying firm's founder, said, oh, here he is again. Another temporary employee was responsible for the fake letters that were sent that appeared to come from nonprofit organizations. Yeah, it was that guy again. It was him again. Jesus, well, we fired him. Now, the new letters claim to be from organizations. Are you ready? Serving the elderly. One was from an organization called the Slippery Rock Senior Center in Slippery Rock, Pennsylvania, whose name and logo were stolen and used by Barnard Associates in a letter sent to Representative Kathy Dahlkemper, a Democrat of Pennsylvania. Slippery Rock Senior Center. Representative Ed Markey of Massachusetts, Democrat, chairman of the Select Committee on Energy Independence Global Warming, said in a statement, quote, "We've seen fear-mongering with our nation's senior citizens with health care, and now we're seeing fraud-mongering with senior citizens on clean energy." Now, Markey's committee has asked this thug, Jack Bonner, and Jack's client, the American Coalition for Clean Coal Electricity, to go through a total of 58 letters about the climate change legislation that appear to have been sent by charities and weren't. Now, that request came after Bonner's lawyers at Aiken, Grum, Strauss, Hauer, and Fell told investigators, we have a legitimate letter here from the Senior Center Incorporated of Charlottesville, Virginia. That's legitimate. But several days later, Aiken, Gump, Strauss, Hauer, and Feld had to retract their lie and declare that letter a fake, too. But now let me see. The Senior Center, Inc. of Charlottesville, Virginia, the Slippery Rock Senior Center in Slippery Rock, PA, why senior centers? Why old people? Before my mother died, she spent about 8-9 years going to her neighborhood senior center. She had a lot of fun there. But I'm here to tell you that the people that normally go to senior centers, they're not going to be around in 2050 either. So what's the point here? Why are they appropriating the names of senior centers? Stealing, not appropriating, screw that word, stealing. Bonner and Associates, Jack Bonner, you filthy, filthy capitalist pig. Now, one of the consequences of stealing, as Jack Bonner and Bonner and Associates have done, one of the consequences of stealing the names of nonprofit organizations and using their letterheads is going to be skepticism on the part of members of Congress when they get these letters in the future. Well, is this real? Is this really real? Here's the senior center that is requesting information on legislation we're considering. Is this a real letter, or is this from that goddamn Jack Bonner and Associates? Is it real? But you see, they don't care. They don't care. The American Petroleum Institute, the American Coalition for Clean Coal Energy, and what's this other one that all went to the theater to hear old Bill Bailey, a rodeo announcer, talk about it? Oh, yeah, Energy Citizens? They're fake. Absolutely fake. And as usual, they go after the old people. I mean, it's incredible. Why don't these rat bastards, when they put their fake letters together, instead of saying it's from a senior center, why not say it's from Pi Kappa Alpha fraternity at the University of Southern California or Michigan State or Columbia? Why don't they use names of young, energetic students, people who are studying science and law and music and art? Why don't they do that? Why do they go to a senior center? What do you suppose the reason is? Because the seniors are too docile or medicated or out of it where they're not going to complain? They're not even going to know what the goddamn hell these people are doing with the name of their organization. Do you suppose that might be it? Well, just when you think these pigs cannot sink any lower, they do. We need Malloy socialism in this country. Malloy democratic socialism. We need to nationalize the banking industry, the energy industry, the healthcare industry, and the transportation industry. We also need to nationalize the death industry, weapons production, with the goal of eliminating weapons production altogether. Now, we nationalize, this is Malloy socialism, and I'm goddamn proud of it. We nationalize those, and then small businesses, what would be a small business? A business that employs under 500 people, would that be? I guess that'd be a small business, or small businesses, family-owned farms, high-tech firms, all sorts of startup businesses are left alone. As long as labor and environmental laws are followed. Now, is that difficult? Huh? That's my plan. And see, if I were President Obama, I wouldn't dick around with these Republicans. I would say, Republicans, get out of my face. Get out of town. Go away. Go play with yourselves. Go cheat on your old ladies. Go see if you can, bugger some college boy. Just get out of my face. Go away. Or a college girl. I've got business to do. That's what President Mike Malloy would say. But there is no such thing. So prepare yourself for the next round of people showing up at rallies. Rallies, well, it's taken away our jobs, this attack on global climate change. There is no such thing. It says in the Bible there isn't. Bible doesn't talk about this, so it's not real, and our jobs will go, and China's not doing it, India's not doing it, Sweden's not doing it, why should we do it? And besides, this is another example of Barack Obama socialism, and he's not even from here. He's from Kenya, and he's a Nazi who likes socialism, go figure. Oh my God. Now, I've got one more for you when we come back from the break that's probably going to, as a good friend of mine used to say, this will really frost your ass.
I'm sick of you. They arrested the mayor for an illegal favor, so the Empire State to Japan. And Oliver North married William C. Corden, gave birth to little Tehran. And the Ayatollah bought a nuclear warship. If he dies, he wants to go out in style. And there's nothing to eat that don't carry the stink of serving. Dumped in the Nile. But one thing is certainly true, no one here knows what to do, and I'm sick of you. I'm sick of you.
Don't go to bed angry. Let Mike Malloy do it for you.
It's 10 before the hour. After the break at the top of the hour, when we come back, I'm going to play for you an audio of a preacher. It's taken from their website, I believe, the church's website in Tempe, Arizona, Baptist Church out there. And Gordon sent this to me, and I want you all to listen to as much of it as you can handle. I've got 3 or 4 minutes of it. I'll probably let it play for about a minute and a half, because it clearly, not that any of my listeners have any doubt where this hatred comes from, but I want you to hear this. This is a Baptist minister in Tempe, Arizona. I'll name his church and tell you how to get in touch with him, too, because you may want to voice your opinion. What was your tax rate last year? I'm talking about, internal revenue. I'm not talking about payroll taxes, all that other stuff. The bite from the federal government. If you're a family, I would imagine the way they figure this, a family of four or a family of three, I don't know. But if you're a family, it says here, making between $50,000 and $75,000, your IRS bite runs around 17.4%. That's just federal income tax, 17.4%. Okay, keep that in mind. This is Peter Cohen writing at DailyFinance.com had this up today. How great it must be to know that, you know, for the wealthy people, that while you are raking in about a quarter of a billion a year, you pay a lower tax rate than the average American family. See, this is the thing that drives me crazy. Peter writes, better news, thanks to the Crazy Channel, that's Fox, which does such a great job of making you uber wealthy people's interests popular with the angry mob. Hundreds of those averagely paid Americans will defend your right to pay lower taxes than they do. Yeah, Peter, this is what drives me crazy. You know, the suicider and the pill popper and the boy that likes to hang out at the bunny ranch, who are all multimillionaires, they convince the average American worker that still has a job to defend the ultra wealthy, defend their right to pay lower taxes than they do. Peter writes, it pays to be among the top 400 taxpayers who earned roughly $250 million on average, $250 million apiece. According to an analysis by the New York Times and David K. Johnston for Tax Notes, the last IRS report on the top 400 taxpayers showed that they made a little more than a penny of each dollar of total income in America. 400 people. 400 out of 300 million, 400 got a penny of every dollar of total income in America. Doesn't make a lot of sense. You know, we try to think of it that way. Well, what? Think about it. But they paid income taxes at a 17.2% rate. A quarter of $1 billion. And their income tax, 17.2%. Add in payroll taxes and the figure still rounds up to 17.2%. So in other words, those top 400 who earned roughly a quarter of a billion, $250 million in 1 year, paid a tax rate lower than that of a family making between $50,000 and $75,000 a year. Now, who's in that group? The pig man. Pig man's right in there. When Will Ferrell, you know, SNL, when Will Ferrell channels former President George W. Bush with his immortal words, "You're welcome, America," those top 400 taxpayers are the only ones who understand what he means. So for the average American whose income has been unchanged since the year 2000, Bush's message remains, let them eat cake. See, this is the thing that infuriates me. It really does. If we live in a system where it is possible for someone to make a quarter of $1 billion a year, I mean, that in itself is an obscenity. That's an obscenity because we have children dying tonight because their parents can't afford health insurance. We have people sick and living on the streets, and these pigs, hogs, $250 million a year. That's bad enough. But the fact that they screw with the system to the extent that their tax rate to the federal income tax is lower than somebody making 50 grand a year. That's where we live. That's considered okay. And as David points out, you know, the half-wits who watch Fox News or listen to the suicider or the drug addict or the boy that hangs out at the bunny ranch, those very people struggling, just like the woman who screamed Heil Hitler at the Jewish man who was talking about Israel's public health service. You watch an interview prior, one of the TV stations out there had an interview with the same woman prior to her screaming Heil Hitler at this guy. And if you listen to her, her husband has no health insurance. She's barely holding on to hers. And yet somehow the Suicider and Fox Channel can inspire this woman to go out and scream Heil Hitler at a man who wants health insurance available in a public option. How does that happen? What kind of monster genie has been unleashed on this country? What kind of sickness, what kind of virus does the Suicider, Glenn Beck, and the pig man, the drug addict, Rush Limbaugh, and the Bunny Ranch hanger-outer, Sean Hannity, why are they on the air? Well, for lots of reasons, Mike. When we come back, we're going to do a little church. It is 6 and a half past the hour, almost 7 past the hour. This is the Molloy Show. All right, I say we're going to do some church when we come back from the break. And, hey, we're back from the break. Let's start with Texas and the Bible. There's a new Texas law, according to theweek.com, U.S. News and Opinion. It's a Texas law mandating a Bible elective in all public schools. And the question is asked, isn't that a violation of church-state separation? They don't care anymore. As of this school year, all Texas public schools will be required to offer a course on the Bible. If you go to KLTV News, KLTV News, you can get a report. KLTV News in I'm not sure what city that is. Anyway, Charles Johnson, who writes for Little Green Footballs, said apparently there are quite a few politicians and school board members in Texas who are either, one, unaware of the existence of the Establishment Clause of the First Amendment of the Constitution, or two, actively trying to subvert it. Now, William Maddox Jr., is quoted in USA Today. Maddox, I believe, is some kind of a religious freak in Texas. He says that's nonsense. He says, quote, "You can't effectively explore American history or even pop culture without knowing the stories, themes, and words of the Bible." And he goes on to say, congratulations to the Texas Board of Education for not skirting this contentious fact. As long as the teachers avoid engaging in religious indoctrination, these classes should benefit everyone. Really? You can't explore American history or pop culture without also having a course in Christian, and trust me, it'll be Southern Baptist Bible study? Are you out of your goddamn mind? This is crazy. This is absolute crazy. Now, there's one, that's one of the problems with the law, according to Jeremy Burchard, the University of Texas. Teachers haven't been trained to teach such an explosive topic. Their words, not mine. They have been trained to teach the Bible, and Texas didn't provide funding to instruct them. That means biblical literacy classes will devolve into legally questionable, polarizing free-for-alls, and dozens of inevitable lawsuits will follow. Mark Moore in Poly Gazette says, quote, I share a vague sense of unease at the state's forcing local districts to provide such courses. But he goes on to say, but the Christian church has done more to shape Western culture than any other institution, and its history is in many respects the history of Europe and America. Regardless of creed or beliefs, he says, children should understand the Bible. Hey, dumbass. Not in a public school. Oh, God. Why bother? All right. Now, I'm going to play for you a bit of sound from the Reverend. Let me see. Who is this? What's this guy? Stephen Anderson. Reverend Stephen Anderson from the Faithful Word Baptist Church in Tempe, Arizona. And if you want to get in touch with these people, their website is Faithful Word Baptist, faithfulwordbaptist.org. This is from the Faithful Word Baptist Church. Let's just play it.
And you know what? You want to know who the biggest hypocrite in the world is? The biggest hypocrite in the world is the person who believes in the death penalty for murderers and not for homosexuals. Hypocrite. The same God who instituted the death penalty for murderers is the same God who instituted the death penalty for rapists and for homosexuals, for sodomites, queers. That's what it was instituted for, okay? That's God. He doesn't change. Oh, God doesn't feel that way.
Can you stop it right there?
God never felt anything about it.
Now, keep in mind as you listen to this, this is a guy preaching a Sunday sermon in a Baptist church in Tempe, Arizona. I don't know if he has 30 people in his congregation or 30,000. Frankly, I don't give a good goddamn. You know what I'm saying? Here he is, Stephen Anderson again, preaching at the Faithful Word Baptist Church.
But he commanded and said they should be taken out and killed. You know why God wanted the sodomites in the Old Testament to be killed? You know why every good king of Israel, the Bible says they got rid of the sodomites in the land? You know, the good kings that came after the bad kings who had allowed the sodomites to infest their land? They had infiltrated. King Asa got the sodomites out of the land. Jehoshaphat exterminated the sodomites that were left from the days of his father Asa. Why? Because the sodomites are infectious. That's why. Because they're not reproducers.
Oh.
That goes without saying. They're recruiters. How are they multiplying? Do you not see that they're multiplying? Are you that blind? Have you noticed that there's more than there were last year and the year before and the year before that? What? How are they multiplying? They're reproducing, right? No. Here's a biology lesson. They're not reproducers. They're recruiters. And you know who they're after?
Your kids. Children.
Remember you dropped off your kids last week?
Yeah.
That's who they were after.
Yeah.
Remember you drop them off and leave them with somebody all the time, and you don't know what's at. You drop them off at some daycare, drop them off at some school somewhere, you don't know where they're at. I'll tell you where they're at. They're being recruited by the sodomites. They're being molested by the sodomites. I could tell you so many stories about people that I know being molested and recruited by the sodomites. They recruit through rape. They recruit through molestation. They recruit through violation. They are infecting our society. They are spreading their disease. You say, is homosexuality, it's not a physical disease, it's a sin disease. It's a wicked, filthy sin disease, and it's spreading on a rampage. Can't you see that it's spreading in a rampage? I mean, can you not see that? Can you not see that it's just exploding in growth? Why? Because each sodomite recruits far more than one other sodomite. Because his whole life is about recruiting other sodomites. His whole life is about violating and hurting people and molesting them.
Okay.
So how many sodomites is one sodomite going to produce?
That's enough. That's enough. I've got 4 minutes of this freak bastard. This is the kind of guy that full-blown, unrepentant atheist that I am. This is when I hear somebody like this, I almost wish there was a very vengeful, enraged God who would say, "Well, you little piss ant, I created some people to be this way and some people to be that way. You're talking about my creation." And that this God would reach down.
Great big Harrier Thunderer would reach down out of heaven and pinch this guy's head off at the neck and throw it into hell for the demons to play sucker ball with.
Or take this preacher and stick him in a room with Dr. Laura and lock the door forever. All right, you wanna send him an email, go to faithfulwordbaptist.org, faithfulwordbaptist.org. That's the cult's webpage. And there's some real, I mean, there's some crazy stuff at the website. This is a man who is insane, as so many, if not all, dominionist, fundamentalist, rapture-ready, the Bible is inerrant, Armageddonist, revelation-eating preachers are. Every one of them is just mad, totally insane. But this guy's focus on homosexuality, well, you know what's going on there, don't you? Of course you do. Now, I'm sorry if you're gay. I don't mean to dump this piece of human waste into your camp. But how many times have we found that people who cannot handle who they are start attacking other people who are like them? You know this to be true. I'm not saying that this guy is gay, but look at the one who who is that preacher? Who is that guy, Kathy? The married guy who had the male hooker. Oh my God, that really narrows it down, doesn't it? But you know what I'm talking about. I don't know, man. You know, come to think about it, I'm sorry I said that about gay folk, that this guy may be gay. It's just that you know from your own experience that these raging homophobes in so many instances have had their minds eaten by people like this preacher. And when they finally do realize that they might be gay, they go insane and become like this guy. This portion of the Mike Malloy Show is brought to you by Patriot Majority. Patriot Majority believes it is our patriotic duty as Americans to pass health care reform now with a strong public plan option.
Johnny Appleseed, he might pass by from the hour of
eight. It's about 22 past the hour. There's a website that you can go to see that or to hear that screed. It is... goodasyou.org. Good, it's a gay site. Goodasyou. Goodasyou.org. And there's a lot of interesting stuff there if you happen to be interested in gay and lesbian issues. That's a good site. Goodasyou. Goodasyou.org. Goodasyou.org. And if you want to send this pissy minister an email, go to his website, faithfulwordbaptist.org. Faithful word. Baptist.org. Oh, God. It just never stops, does it? The hatred. You know, all the stuff that's going on, all the stuff that needs some attention, some love, some peace, some balance, some justice. And you have the Bunny Ranch boy and the suicider and the pig man, a drug addict, and preachers like this out there doing everything they can to disrupt to take things further out of balance, to tip the planet right at the hinges, just anything, everything. And they all do it for sport, unless it's one of these preacher bastards who is just, I don't know, he's devoured by fear. He understands that he's going to die. And he's terrified of his own death. So he buys into this crazy, crazy religion of his. And then to get extra points with his God, he starts demonizing God's creation. Now that makes sense, doesn't it? These people are insane. Steven Anderson is his name. At the Faithful Word Baptist Church. Send him an email, faithfulwordbaptist.org. Steven Anderson. Oh my God. I think, all right, coming back after the next break here, we're going to have our first K's report card. But here's a missive from Prairie 2. He wants to be identified as Prairie 2 handicapping the four horses of the apocalypse. Okay. Prairie 2 writes, ever wonder where ex-Senator Rick Santorum has gone? He's just announced a series of speeches to be given before a right-wing religious group in Iowa this fall. A spokesman said this doesn't necessarily amount to a kickoff of a 2012 presidential campaign just because Iowa is the first caucus in the nation. Since Iowa is one of less than a handful of states to legalize gay marriage, and Iowa did launch the successful march to the White House by a black man, Iowa should be fertile ground for Santorum. What with the packs of men and dogs having sex in the streets and all the abandoned white women being forced into prostitution by the legions of black pimps with federal badges on, God has not been ignoring the sinful nature of Iowa to punish the voters for the Nazi liberal commie fascist president. God sent a $12 billion flood last summer. This summer, because of all the man-on-dog sex that must exist in Iowa, God has plagued Iowa with unheard-of cold summer weather and has repeatedly sent hailstorms over large areas, devastating crops with yields down 40% statewide. Ex-Senator Santorum will be able to dispel the myth that this is a result of man-made global warming, but rather the righteous punishment from a wrathful God. But the ex-senator may have a hard time finding an audience, as socialist death panels already being formed to start eliminating the elderly and the infirm, forcing abortions and giving everybody sex change operations. But with the new White House enemies email list, all of Santorum's supporters will have been rounded up by the time he finishes his first speech. God will send locusts and rain frogs. Prairie 2, who apparently has been into the cooking, Sherry, right before he wrote this one. Woo! Go to his website, prairienumeral2.com, and Prairie 2 would henceforth and hereon like to be identified as Prairie 2 handicapping the four horses of the apocalypse. Do you mean the four horsemen or the four horses? We'll go with the horses. That's cool. Rick Santorum, the truth is, Bruce, I did wonder what happened to Rick Santorum, the one who put one of his wives miscarried fetuses in a jar and no he didn't do that. He brought it home. Yeah, the stillborn, not a fetus, a stillborn baby, and he brought it home for his other children to hold and fondle. And can you imagine what those children are going to be like when they grow up? Can you just imagine?
Me. Every
right here, right now, Mike Malloy.
Yeah. 26 before the hour. We're going to dance a little bit after Kay's report card. We haven't danced in a long time. We're not going to do the klezmer music. We're not going to do... what is that one we do? The who stole the Kishka. We have a lot of listeners in Australia. And if you were just listening online during that break, you know what we're going to play. But we're going to do it for... our listeners in Australia. But first, ladies and gentlemen, debuting Kay's report card.
Your children well, because their father's hell did slowly go by, and see them on your dreams.
Hi, Mike. On my way home from school today, I was listening to Tom Hartman on Green 960. His guest was Larry Pratt from Gun Owners of America. Hartman was pressing Pratt about the reason why these fools keep showing up at healthcare rallies with their guns. Hartman asked, why not show up with IV bags if their point really is healthcare? Pratt maintained the following, and I'm paraphrasing, gun owners are taking this opportunity to protest the zero tolerance policies in the schools. You see, according to him, these policies call for the expulsion of a student who points at someone using his thumb and index finger to mimic a gun. I teach in an urban area, and I have never heard of this happening to a student, ever. What a crock. Hartman said as much. The second reason for guns appearing at healthcare rallies, according to Mr. Pratt, is that gun owners are demonstrating that they can carry loaded weapons safely. WTF? Does he really mean to tell us that this is all about responsible gun owners saying, see, we're at a healthcare rally with our guns, and looky here, we're not firing them, see? Guns are safe. Guns don't kill people. People kill people. Hartman didn't go for the BS, but you know that millions of knuckle-dragging Americans will. They'll say, these guns ain't got nothing to do with the fact that we've got a black president. It's all about showing you liberal types that guns are safe. Unreal. I set up my classroom today. When I stood back and looked at the charts of the three branches of government, I felt sad. That's because it's clear that these past 8 years have driven us back from the progress we were making toward realizing the potential contained in our founding documents. And sadly, it doesn't look like we're going to be moving forward again anytime soon. I looked closely at the chart of how a bill becomes a law and started to get furious. Healthcare reform is something that most Americans strongly supported until the right-wing noise machine started up, that is. Had the Democrats shown any backbone, that reform would now be well along in the process. Instead, it seems to have ended with step one, sponsorship. That's because the real sponsors are not the American people, but the filthy insurance companies and other corporate interests who own the Congress. And I'm supposed to teach kids that this flowchart accurately represents the way a bill becomes a law? I think the more appropriate lesson would be to stand up there with a checkbook and say, you want legislation passed? Forget calling your congressman or senator. Just make sure you have one of these. A checkbook with a hefty balance in your account. Write your check and watch your bill become law. Okay, I know that's a little too cynical. I'm just so angry over this healthcare debacle right now. I could spit nails. Keeping it lit as best I can. Kay.
The one you know by. Don't you ever ask them why. If they told you, you would cry. So just look at
our educational affairs correspondent, Kay Petrini, with her debut missive on this program. Not bad, Kay. Everybody who writes for this program, bless all of their hearts. And all these emails, I very seldom get anything that is not program worthy. Once a jolly swagman camped by a billabong under the shade of a coolabah tree, and he sang as he watched and waited till his billy boiled, "You'll come a-waltzing, Matilda, with me." Down came a jumbuck to drink at that billabong. Up jumped the swagman and grabbed him with glee, and he sang as he shoved that jumbuck at his tucker bag, "You'll come a-waltzing, Matilda, with me." But up rode the squatter mounted on his thoroughbred, and then down came the troopers, 1, 2, 3. "Where's that jolly jumbuck you've got in your tucker bag?" "You'll come a-waltzing, Matilda, with me." Up jumped the swagman and sprang into the billabong. "You'll never catch me alive," said he. "And his ghost may be heard as you pass by that billabong. You'll come a-waltzing, Matilda, with me." Let's dance. Come on. Get up. Here we go. Here we go.
Once was a jolly swagman camped by a billabong under the shade of a coolabah tree. And he sang as he watched and waited till his billy boiled. "You'll come waltzing, Matilda, with me." Down came a jumbuck.
For our listeners in Oz, bless your bleeding hearts.
Got the swag in, grabbed him with glee. And he sang as he showed that jumbuck in his tucker bag. "You'll come waltzing, Matilda, with me." Waltzing, Matilda.
Come on, sing it.
Waltzing, Matilda. You'll come waltzing, Matilda, with me. And he sang as he showed that jumbuck in his tucker bag.
Is that, Kathy? Do you see it there on the, Don't know?
All I can tell you is it has something to do with the Kiwi soccer team.
Well, they're from New Zealand, the Kiwis, which is right next door, of course. God, I love that song. I don't know what it is about that song.
What is a billabong?
A billabong is a little pond.
And what did he have jammed in his Tucker bag?
He had a jumbuck, a little like a baby roo.
The whole thing just sounded really, really, really suggestive to me.
No, a jumbuck. It's I think it's
jumbuck in your billabong.
Yeah, you got a jumbuck.
Tuckered to see me.
Well, listen, jumbuck. You know, maybe it's a deer. I don't know. Maybe one of our listeners in Australia will clear this up for us. And a Tucker bag is like your backpack.
I know that's like a lunchbox or something.
No. Your Tucker bag is what
Tucker's
you tuck.
Food, right?
No. It's what you tuck things into. It's a Tucker bag.
It was slang for food. Tucker.
No.
Get some Tucker.
No.
I saw Crocodile Dundee.
Did they sing that in Crocodile Dundee? Let's take a break. We'll be back. I'm Mike Malloy. Stay with us.
Woo! Twice as cloudy as I've been the night before, and I went in seeking clarity. I went to the doctor, I went to the mountains, I looked to the children, I drank from the fountain. If we go to the doctor, we go to the mountains, we look to the children, we drink from the fountain. Yeah, we go to the Bible, we go through the workout.
It was asked where you've gone.
Flying Monkey Right. It's Mike Malloy.
10 before the hour. Okay, Mike in Australia sent me... you can get this at Wikipedia, Mike says. But here's some of the song narrate. This is Waltzing Matilda. For those who don't know, the song narrates the story of an itinerant worker making a crude cup of tea at a bush camp and capturing a sheep to eat. When the sheep's ostensible owner arrives with three policemen to arrest the worker, he drowns himself in a small lake and goes on to haunt the site. The lyrics contain many distinctively Australian English words, some now rarely used outside this song, including a swag man. That's the guy who traveled the country looking for work. The swag man's swag was a bedroll that bundled up his belongings. Waltzing, derived from the German term Auf der Walz, which means to travel while working as a craftsman and learn new techniques from other masters before returning home after 3 years and one day, 3 years and one day, a custom which is still in use today among carpenters. Really? Auf der Walz. I thought it was waltzing. You know, the dance. Matilda, a romantic term for a swagman's bundle. And waltzing Matilda, from the above term, swagman's bundle, to waltz Matilda is to travel with a swag, that is, with all one's belongings on one's back wrapped in a blanket or cloth. The exact origins of the term Matilda are disputed. One fanciful derivation states that when swagmen meet each other at their gatherings, there were rarely women to dance with. Nonetheless, they enjoyed a dance, and so they danced with their swags, which were given a woman's name. However, this appears to be influenced by the word waltz, hence the introduction of dancing. It seems more likely that as a swag man's only companion, the swag came to be personified as a woman. Another explanation is that the term derives from German immigrants. German soldiers commonly referred to their greatcoats as Matilda, supposedly because the coat kept them as warm as a woman would. Early German immigrants who went on the waltz, quote-quote, would wrap their belongings in their coat and took to calling it by the same name their soldiers had used. Billabong is an oxbow lake, a cut-off river bend found alongside a meandering river. Coolabah tree, a kind of eucalyptus tree which grows near billabongs. Jumbuck, a large, difficult-to-shear sheep, not a tame sheep, implies that the sheep was not owned by the squatter or regularly shorn, thus not able to be stolen by the swagman. Billy, a can for boiling water in. Tucker bag, a bag for carrying food. Troopers, the policeman, and the squatter. Australian squatters started as early farmers. who raised livestock on land which they did not legally have the right to use. In many cases, they later gained legal use of the land, even though they did not have full possession. All right. Well, thanks, Mike, and everybody else who sent in explanations.
You know, it occurred to me if someone was just, surfing the dial on Sirius or XM and tuned into the, you know, the American Left channel or whatever they call it, and just heard the last couple of minutes, they'd say, this is liberal political talk?
No, they'd say, oh, my God, the atmospheric bounce must be great tonight. We're picking up a station from Brisbane.
Yeah, because that awesome Aussie accent.
I ain't got no Aussie accent. I ain't. No, I'm not even going to try that. Australian accent is one that you just can't do if you're an American. You simply cannot. What else we got here? I love that song. I just love that song. Well, let me see. There are just so many things to get to. By the way, we're going to go ahead and open up the phone lines. So if you want to get on the line now, the number is, what's the number here? 877. What's our number, Kathy? Here it is, 877-996-2556, 877-996-2556. And we will probably give most of the final hour over to your phone calls. The AP had a small article floating around the web tonight. The daughter of Salvador Allende requested yesterday that Brazil open any secret archives that could shed light on any role it played, Brazil, in the 1973 overthrow of her father, who at the time was Chile's president. The request by the daughter, whose name is Isabel Allende, a representative in Chile's Congress, she's a member of Congress now, followed the publication of a declassified document that showed President Richard Nixon and the Brazilian military president, General Emilio Medici, back in 1973, had discussed coordinating intervention in Chile to overthrow Mr. Allende. Miss Allende posted her request on her Twitter page. Oh, my God, really? That's more blood on the hands of... You know who I'm talking about.
Well, we had to overthrow the government of Chile. It was necessary.
Kissinger is another one who should be, oh my God, over the course of the past 40 years, 50 years, Henry Kissinger's bloody paw prints are all over the planet.
We felt it was necessary to remove Salvador Allende. They were going to nationalize ITT. But they didn't.
We'll be back after the break. I'm Mike Malloy. This portion of the Mike Malloy Show is brought to you by Patriot Majority. Patriot Majority believes it is our patriotic duty as Americans to pass health care reform now with a strong public plan option.
The music to the story in your eyes.
It is 7 past the hour. This is the Malloy Show. And we're glad you're here. Yeah, I'm just looking at email. Sorry. Okay, I'm back. One more thing before we go to your calls. The daughter of Salvador Allende would like to... Has petitioned the government of Brazil, not the United States, because she knows what she would get. Petitioned the government of Brazil to find out to what extent the military dictator of Brazil back in 1973 co-conspired with Henry Kissinger and Dick Nixon to murder her father. And in Honduras, Amnesty International, in a report that was released today, Amnesty said the Honduran military and police are using beatings and mass arrests to punish protesters for opposing the military's ouster of President Manuel Zelaya 6 weeks ago in June. Amnesty in the report said mass arbitrary arrests and ill treatment of protesters are a serious and growing concern in Honduras today. The government of Roberto Micheletti, the one who the military installed, accuses demonstrators of engaging in violent acts and provoking the authorities. Son of a bitch. What is more violent than overthrowing an elected government? What is more provoking the authorities than having a military coup? But leave it to the fascists. You know, fascists are wherever you find them, and they're all over the place. This one is named Roberto Micheletti. So he accuses the people demonstrating to get back their duly elected government. They are engaging in violent acts and provoking the authorities. So what do? You arrest them and beat the living hell out of them. Break their arms, shatter their kneecaps, put out an eye, stick a long, sharp instrument deep into their ear canal, puncture an eardrum. If it's a male, squeeze his testicles until he faints, and when he comes to, do it again. This is what they were taught at the School of the Americas in Fort Benning, Georgia, right down the road from us. This is what our tax dollars pay for. Good God. Okay. Diane is driving in Wyoming, listening on XM. Hi, Diane.
Hello.
Hi.
Hi.
Yes. Hello, Diane.
Yes, I'm here.
Okay. Speak to me.
I just wanted to hear what the Baptist preacher had to say. I missed it when you played it, and I just wanted you to replay it for me.
Oh, well, I don't think I can do that. That was like an hour and a half ago, but I'll tell you what you can do. You can become a podcast subscriber, and then this sort of problem will not arise. Thanks, Diane. No, once we get cranking with the show, we can't, you know, I'm sorry, I can't go back and, you know. But we'd love to have you as a podcast subscriber. It costs you 25 cents a program since you brought it up. It's $59.60 a year. Just go to MikeMalloy.com. $59.40, I'm sorry. Go to MikeMalloy.com and you'll see how to do that. Oh, and we do have an announcement. Tomorrow night, the next episode, the newest episode of Mike Malloy Radio Gumshoe, that is long overdue. Thanks to our end here, Kathy and my end. Bob Alexander wrote this this episode weeks ago. And then I had that quick bout with whatever that bronchial grout was at that time, and then went to Seattle, yada, yada, yada. But anyway, tomorrow night we are going to play The latest episode of Mike Miller Radio Gumshoe will probably do that the second hour. So don't miss it. This is a good one. Written and produced by Bob Alexander and performed by the Mighty Malloy Radio Players. Tomorrow night, second hour. Ken is in San Pedro, California, listening on KTLK. Hey, Ken.
Hi, Mike.
Hi.
It is truly an honor to be in touch with patriots like you and Kathy. Thanks for taking the call.
Well, that's very kind.
Anyway, just a couple of quick things. I've been a regular listener, and not quite a year ago, I remember a powerful rant you had on, I just want to hear more of it, about the liberals and their failure to take up major media outlets, radios and TVs, and just, I mean, people that really could make a difference and have the power and the money to make a difference, they aren't. It just really bothers me, you know, that they have the ability and the money and the power. They could do do something with media, like, you know, Oprah Winfrey or somebody, you know, who could have a TV show of her own, a Fox network, you know, and have people like Ralph Nader and, you know, yourselves on there, and Dennis Kucinich, and people on there that would really start talking truth to the major, to the American public, you know, on a regular basis.
Well, you know, that has been one of the issues. I have two business partners. One of them is John Sinton, who was the first president of Air America until he got disgusted and left because of the horror that Air America became. But John and I have, he lives in Atlanta. John and I have known each other for 20 years, and we've talked about this over and over and over again. Why?
Are they afraid to lose some kind of gravy train?
I don't know what it is. Wealthy liberals who utterly and absolutely refuse to do what wealthy right-wingers have done, what wealthy neo-Nazis have done. Sure, you take a couple of big liberal Hollywood producers and a couple of, you mentioned Oprah, that's a good one, and put their money together. They could have, it's way too late now, but they could have established radio networks so that this program or Hartman's program or all these programs that struggle and Stephanie Miller's program struggle to try to stay on the air.
Right.
That never would have happened, but no.
Why do you say it's too late?
Because radio is in a weird transition period. I'm not sure what's going to happen, to radio as we know it. And I think most people who are in radio will tell you that. Just like the newspaper business is going through a tremendous change, and, AM radio, and FM. I mean, both sides. FM radio used to be supported by the record industry. And now the record industry is going down the tank because the internet has, you know, why buy music when you can steal it?
Sure.
So, there's just so much transition going on right now. And I guess the main thing I meant when it's too late to do it now, it probably is not. Some of these, people with money who are on the left side of the political spectrum could still, there are a lot of stations that are up for sale now because the revenue is simply not coming in. There are stations all over the country. I wouldn't be surprised if there's not 1,000 radio stations or more. I think altogether there are, 7,000-8,000 radio stations in the United States. And hundreds, if not thousands of them are up for sale. But, and still they do nothing. Still,
I just wonder if they're cowards or there's a gravy train they're afraid to lose or something, you know?
I don't know.
And it's just, I loved your rant. It was about 6 months ago when you were changing radio stations, and it was like, it was so powerful. I remember that rant every day.
Yeah.
Because that's the core of it. I think media reform and campaign finance reform overrides, trumps all of these other things, like health care reform even. You know?
Well, you're absolutely right. There's no question that that's the baseline. Ken, thanks, man. I got a break coming here. Thanks a lot. I appreciate you checking in, pal. Ken is absolutely right. Media reform and response from the left, from the liberals, and the liberals that have money do nothing. They do absolutely nothing. They just sit back and bitch and complain. And you know, where's Michael Moore and Rob Reiner and Oprah Winfrey? And I could go right down the list. You know, where are they? Where are they?
Mike Malloy Show. Talk radio matters here.
21 past the hour. Torrance in Portland writes, Mike, can you explain how a man can walk by and express his freedom of speech and say, F you, Cheney, and he's detained and questioned as a hostile threat in New Orleans? But you can wear a gun and not be questioned or detained as to your intent for bringing a gun to a presidential appearance function. Double standards, or folks showing who's the boss, by creating a catch-22 situation for the Obama folks. Yeah, sure. You can imagine the screaming and drooling and slobbering from the suicider, Glenn Beck, and the Bunny Ranch boy, Sean Hannity, and the drug addict, Rush Limbaugh, if one of these people carrying a sidearm or an assault rifle were stopped or detained or questioned. And again, after showing up at an Obama appearance, the screaming and the pants sweating would just flow across the country. Of course, the suicider and the drug addict and the Bunny Ranch visitor would never, ever, ever make themselves available, step out of the crowd. They hide in their in their enclaves and just stir up people to go do things, and they do it for sport. It's just incredible. It's incredible. And if you want to see, a couple of people said to me, well, what's the Bunny Ranch reference? Go to their website, Bunny Ranch. It's a whorehouse, no offense to sex workers, out in Nevada. And there are pictures of Sean there. I mean, no, it's not photoshopped. It's real stuff. They've got a photo gallery where they, the guy that owns the place and some of the women who work there, they pose with celebrities, and there's Hannity. I mean, say what you want. He was just doing a story. Oh, bat snot. He was just doing a story. Yeah, he's a dog show host. And a Nazi. So just go, Google Bunny Ranch, and when you get their website, check out the photos or the gallery or whatever the hell they call it. And yeah, you're going to see a few naked boobs. So that would be Hannity. There'll also be a few naked breasts. Hannity's not naked. No, I don't think so. Not in these shots. But if the aspects of the human form bother you, then don't look at Hannity. I'm getting all confused. You know what I'm saying? I got received two emails tonight from people who say, what's the Hannity reference? So I just sent them the link. But if you want to have some fun, go look at the pictures of Hannity and his dung-eating grin as he's standing there with a rather well-endowed, what do you call them? Hostesses? No, not hookers. Not call girls. They work there at the Bunny Ranch. Hostesses. Professional prostitute? That's not bad. So that's the reference to Hannity. It's my understanding he's a regular there. I don't know how in the hell he hasn't insisted that they take down his photograph because, Sean is a good. Isn't Sean a good little Catholic boy who always gets his bowels in an uproar when he can glom onto some story about infidelity or on the Democrat side? Or, he never mentions the Republicans, and there's probably a reason why. But if you want to check out pictures of Sean Hannity and the hostesses at the Bunny Ranch, they're there. I don't know why you would, but, I got time to do this? No, we're coming up on a break here. All right. We have one open line while we do the break. If you want to call in, we'll take your call. I promise. The number here is 877-996-2556. And if you're on the line, stay there. We're going to get to you as soon as we come back. There were four anti-war activists were arrested Monday as they called for the firing of John Yoo, this another fascist who wrote the legal memos that were used to justify torture. Campus police arrested at least four people, according to the Associated Press, who refused to leave the university's law school building. The demonstrators insisted John Yoo be dismissed, disbarred, and prosecuted for war crimes. Shouting, "War criminal," the protesters confronted Yoo as he entered a lecture hall on the first day of class at UC Berkeley's Boalt Hall School of Law. Yoo ignored the demonstrators and waited for police to remove them before he began teaching. Well, I'm having a hard time understanding. Isn't the state of California in a financial meltdown? Isn't a lot of the money that normally would be used for tuition gone? So that tuition charges have been raised. Why is the university system in California still paying a fascist to corrupt the minds of students? I don't get that.
To own.
It's about 25 before the hour. Back to your phone calls. Todd is in Kennedy, New York. Hey, Todd.
Hey, how you doing, Mike?
I'm okay. How are you?
I'm great.
Good.
I was going to talk about your Church with Mike section.
The what? Say it again.
Church with Mike.
Oh, yeah. Earlier tonight, yeah.
Where the that preacher was mentioning the sodomites 15 times, and it reminded me of... one of your shows from about a month ago where you were talking about Sodom and Gomorrah.
Uh-huh.
And actually, their sodomy reference,
mm-hmm.
Going to homosexuals,
mm-hmm.
actually in the story of Sodom and Gomorrah, there's actually the only sexual reference is when the attackers came to Lot's house, which is actually Abraham's nephew.
Right.
And... a couple other things about the story of Lot.
Yeah, he had sex with his daughters.
Yes, actually, their daughters had sex with him.
Well, whatever.
I know.
But you know, my grandmother, who was a Southern Baptist, what she told me. This is, I don't think my grandma, who died almost 50 years ago, I don't think she would have even said the word. Homosexual. It was just beyond her ability. I don't think she even knew what the word meant. But she explained to me that the reason God, and she was very devout Protestant, the reason God destroyed Sodom was because the people in the city were unfriendly to strangers, to travelers. When people...
Actually, that's a reference to the story of Nineveh, which actually comes from the story of Jonas.
Oh, well, my grandma got it wrong then.
Well, it's another biblical story, though.
Is Nineveh near Sodom?
No, but it was another biblical story. It was close to it in the Bible a few pages back.
Oh, okay. Okay.
But, I mean, well, I...
Well, I've never been able to figure out how the gay haters came up with Sodom as their, the story of...
Because Sodom was the only thing actually mentioned in the Bible, and the reason it was only mentioned in the Bible is because that's where Lot lived, and they were talking about Lot.
But he wasn't gay?
No. But he lived in Lot. He lived in Sodom.
Sodom, right.
And that's why Sodom was mentioned and Gomorrah wasn't. because apparently the only thing they were focusing on was Lot's story for some reason or another. But
so the destruction of Sodom, there had to be a reason for it. And
because it says, and actually the other thing that you said that was kind of incorrect was that was the only city that God had come down to destroy personally, which actually is completely wrong. That was the only time in the Bible God came down to see what was going on first. The quote from the Bible is, I have to go down to see whether it's as bad as I've heard, which actually sounds awfully human to me.
And I said that was the only instance. There are other instances?
Of God coming down to check out things himself? No.
Okay, well then, I was correct or incorrect?
No, you said that was the only... You were incorrect because you said that was the only time God came down himself to destroy the city.
He
didn't come down himself. He actually sent his angels down there, which is what Lot came onto, and it wasn't because of his righteousness or because he was so good.
Okay, listen, Todd, I'm starting to feel like we're two Talmudic scholars who are debating the fine points of Old Testament writ. Listen, thanks. No, I appreciate it. Thanks, Todd. I appreciate you checking in. Take care. Yeah, you know, mythology is mythology. There are so many ways to tell the story of Mercury. There are so many ways to tell the story of Diana, the goddess of the hunt. There's so many ways to tell the story of Circe or Cupid or the big gods. And there are ways to tell the story, I'm sure, of God's visitation in the Judeo-Christian mythology, actually Jewish mythology, the Christians borrowed it, of God's visitation to Sodom. And, you know, I just wonder, you know, like this crazy-eyed preacher that we played earlier tonight, why do they not go on and finish up the story then? How, you know, God said, don't turn around and look, just keep moving. And of course, Lot's wife turned around and looked and became a pillar of salt of all things. And then because the daughters thought that was the end of the Jews, they had all been killed in Sodom. Now somebody's going to say, no, Mike, it wasn't Jews. That was the end of the human race. So they had to become impregnated, and nobody was there to impregnate them. So they gave Dad some wine and went in and had sex with him. Why don't the preachers talk about that part and explain that the continuation all the way down to Jesus then is based on incest? They just don't do that, do they? I wonder why.
Again, I just have to point out that to our brand new listeners out there who may be hearing the show for the first time, driving around in your cars after waltzing Matilda, and then we had the call there, and hope you understand this is a political talk show.
Hey, Rachel Maddow spent time talking about John Ensign, and she does liberal talk. You know, Keith Olbermann talks about Oddball. Let's play Oddball.
I don't think I've ever seen them sing.
All right. Nick is in Gettysburg, PA. Hey, Nick.
Hey, Mike. How's it going?
Going pretty good. How about you?
Good. I wanted to go and follow up on one another caller. Mentioned about how the wealthy liberals in this country who could invest some of the capital in a little bit of influence, and it may not be because they can't. It may be because they possibly have a whole lot more to lose than just their money.
So it would be cowardice?
Maybe so. I mean, we've tied that in with a lot of Democratic members of Congress, and even according to our president, when you say that they all seem to go and fold.
Well,
I'm
sorry?
Well, I was going to say, you know, politicians, though, cowardice is understandable because they have to stand for re-election either every 2 years or every 6 years or every 4 years, and the president only gets to do that once, unless he can figure out a way to steal elections like Bush did. But wealthy liberals, they don't have to, they're not elected anything. They have, you know, just acres and acres and acres of money. I don't know what they do with it. I have no idea. And frankly, it's none of my business what they do with it. But I'm just saying, the right wing in this country, after Barry Goldwater was so badly defeated in 1964, they decided, okay, that's it. They needed to have all these front organizations that would legitimize right-wing fascism in this country. And so they spent from 1964 until the election of Reagan building these neo-fascist organizations that were nothing more than propaganda outlets. And they convinced enough people to vote for Reagan, and then here we are.
Right. I guess what I was trying to go and say is that it may be threats of outright violence from heads of corporate America or something. I was always reminded of a quote from the late great comedian Bill Hicks.
Oh yeah.
Basically, referencing the Kennedy assassination.
Yeah, but don't use any cuss words now.
No.
Okay.
Well, this is one of his cleaner, cleaner bits. But he basically said that it was his theory that every time we elected a new president,
took him in and showed him the Zapruder film and said any questions.
Right, yeah, showed him the film of the Kennedy assassination from an angle nobody has ever seen before, and then, right, exactly, says any questions.
Yeah, I almost would not be the least bit surprised if that were the case. Hey, listen, Nick, right. I got to move on. Thank you, pal. I appreciate you checking in. I wish I had an answer about, wealthy liberals or wealthy. I remember years ago, Stuart Mott, do you remember him? I forget where his wealth came from. I'm sure somebody will fill me in very quickly here. But Stuart Mott, way back in the 70s, when I was writing for a radical newspaper here in Atlanta, matter of fact, it was called The Radical Voice of the South. And we were always the same thing, always, you know, just trying to figure out how to get enough money to get the next issue printed, much less distributed. And we used to talk about, well, why doesn't Stuart Mott help us? And I still don't have an answer. We'll be right back. Before the hour, thanks to our production and technical crew, Ben Birch, who handles the web streaming, our technical advisor, Sharon Gordy, military affairs, Bruce Enberg, economic affairs, Kate Petrini, educational affairs, Bob Alexander, and Bridget Wolf, program's ethics advisors, and the program is engineered by Kathy Bay, who is also the executive producer. Back to your phone calls. Mike is in L.A. listening on KTLK. Hey, Mike.
Hey, how are you?
I'm doing fine. How are
Great.
You?
You know, my opinion, if it were up to me, would be the Obama administration should present a new plan to Congress with the public insurance as the centerpiece.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Hold hearings, cover every detail, refute every lie, be thorough, be exhaustive, and then answer every question.
Mm-hmm.
put this all as part of the public record and use the transcripts as the authoritative source of what this bill stands for, then circulate it throughout the country so people can make an informed decision on what they want. What we have so far is they're afraid of public insurance failing. They're afraid of the success. People will see how good it worked and they'll say, how could we have ever had what we had? We're never going back to that. That's why they're doing this. And the other thing is people were asking about, you know, public insurance in general, what it means.
Uh-huh.
And for me, it means that, you know, everyone will be, you know, brought under the Medicare umbrella and bracketed, you know, how much they pay according to their ability to pay. And then those who can't pay will be given X amount of credits for general, you know, practitioner per year, plus any emergencies that come up, and then rewarded credits for wellness, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera.
Right.
Very simple. But the Democrats should be offering substance. All the Republicans are is fear, emotion, jingoism, and they put it up to a vote. And if it doesn't pass, that's fine. There'll be other elections. We'll just keep pushing it back up there. And eventually, you know, there's two ways to do this. There's the easy way and there's the hard way. The easy way is to get it done now. The hard way is going to hurt these healthcare conglomerates and Republicans much more, you know, because these people at these town hall meetings, they don't represent the average Republican. The average Republican has nothing to do with those people. You know, they pushed Obama in there, and I don't think they're going to be fooled.
Well, if the average Republican doesn't have anything to do with them, Mike, and I'm not challenging what you're saying, I'm just adding, then why doesn't the Republican Party, the establishment Republican Party, disavow these maniacs?
Because they just want to dig themselves into a deeper hole and just pull themselves out for the next 50. Apparently, that's what they're doing. That's what the result is going to be. This, you know, the people.
Well, that's, yeah, and you're right, and I hear you, but that's why I say they do represent the heart and soul of the Republican Party. I realize now the truth is out on a lot of these people. They're followers of this crazy ex-con, Lyndon LaRouche.
You know, and people, all the public option as far as financing, would you be spending just the same cost, a little bit more just for the normal person, that you are for people that are behind bars today. People who are playing by the rules, obeying all the laws, don't they deserve at least the health coverage of people that are behind bars?
You would think.
And finally, the media and the corporations and the big money, they're focusing on this little whack job crew of people running around the country. I call them the brown baggers. They're brown shirt carpet baggers. That's, you know, they're such a minority. And these people are scared because once, you know, if it doesn't go, fine, take the liabilities. But, you know, that's the direction of history, and the Democrats got to get with the program.
Well, you're absolutely right, and I appreciate what you had to say, Mike. I don't understand. Well, I do understand. The explanation is very short and simple, where it concerns health care reform in exactly the same manner as it concerns global climate change. The corporations own damn near, if not everybody, in both houses of Congress, they own enough of the representatives and senators that the laws that will be passed will be sweetheart deals for the insurance industry on the one hand and the people who are killing all life on the planet on the other, the petroleum and the coal industries, the energy industries. So, you know, in that regard, since the Democrats, the Republicans are irrelevant. They're swine. But so many Democrats are also, because they have sold out. Literally, I don't mean sold out ideologically. They've sold out for money. You know, they get their 2-year foot in the door as a representative, and they will do anything to retain that position. And if it means carrying water for the current corrupt health insurance industry, they'll do it. If it means compromising whatever values they have left for the weapons industry, they'll do it. If it means becoming whores, no offense to sex workers, for the energy industry, they'll do it. It doesn't matter. You know, I watch these ads on television from the Cole Institute or whatever it is that are telling me that America's future depends on a continuation of coal mining, you know, ripping the tops off of mountains and burning this filth, pure carbon. I mean, there's no question. There's no question of what that it's just, it's suicide. It's suicide. You know, that's Glenn Beck's area, not America's. And it's suicide on a massive scale, not just America, the whole damn planet. And I keep seeing these institutional ads, like there's enough coal in America to, I don't know, run the entire solar system for the next 17,000 centuries. Okay, sure, let's start the furnaces and put them on autopilot, because long before the coal runs out, the people are going to run out and everything else. You know what I'm saying? Good God. Hey, I'll see you tomorrow night. Take care. Keep it lit. I'm Mike Malloy.